Welcome to Nachyomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schupp. The 13th chapter of Sefer Yirmiyahu contains several messages directed to the royal court, most likely of Jehoiachin, and the political and religious leaders in Jerusalem, warning them about the impending disaster that will end Judean sovereignty and bring the end to their privileged status. The rich and powerful, whom the prophet compares to pitchers filled with wine, chose oblivion as they lived in a stupor of decadent luxury, unwilling to acknowledge their responsibilities and faults. Midway through this chapter, we learn that the Navi was sent to the capital with a message described in verses 13 and 14. Va'amarta lehem. Kor amar Hashem, hineni memale et kol yoshvei haaretz hazot ve'et hamelachim hayoshvim leDavid al kiso ve'et hakohanim ve'et hanevi'im ve'et kol yoshvei Yerushalayim shikaron ve'nipatztim ish el achiv ve'avot ve'habanim yachdav ne'um Hashem lo echmol ve'lo achus ve'lo arachem mehashchitam. You are to tell them that this is what Hashem says. I am going to fill with drunkenness all who live in this land, the kings who sit on David's throne, the priests, the prophets, and all the people of Jerusalem. I will smash them against one another, fathers and sons alike, declares Hashem, showing no mercy, no pity, or compassion in destroying them. These elites would be taken as hostages of their Babylonian overlords 11 years prior to the destruction of Jerusalem. In verses 20 through 22, Yirmiyahu warned the royal family, who repeatedly refused to heed Hashem's call. Se'u einechem uru habaim mitzafon, ayei ha'eder nitan lach tzon tifartech. Ma tomri ki yifkod alayich, ve'at limadet otam, alayich alufim lerosh, halo chavalim yochezuch, kemo eshet leida. Ve'chi tomri bilvavech, madu akrauni eile, berov avonech niglu shulayich, nechmesu akavayich. Lift your eyes and see those coming from the north. Where is the flock entrusted to you, your beautiful sheep? What will you say when Hashem holds over you those whom you yourself trained and befriended? Will not pangs of anguish grip you as they do a woman in labor? And if you ask yourself, why has this happened to me? It is because of the magnitude of your iniquity, that your skirts have been stripped off and your shame has been violently exposed. By the time the royal family will awaken to the disaster they themselves have caused and try to undo the cause, it will be too late. Thus the prophet laments in verse 23, employing what has become among his most famous parables. Hayafoch kushi oro v'namer Chavar borotav, gam atem lo tochlu lehetiv limudei hara. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Do you suppose you can also do good when you have been so habituated to do evil? It's too late for any inklings of regret or repentance that may arise at the hour of reckoning. They cannot avert Hashem's retribution, as described in verses 24 and 25. Ve'afitzem kekash over leruach midbar. Ze goralech manat midayich mi'iti ne'um Hashem, asher shachacht oti ve'tiftechi b'sheker. I will scatter you like chaff driven by the desert wind. This is your lot, the portion I have measured to you, declares Hashem, because you have forgotten me entrusted in falsehood. It seems there is no correcting an incorrigible and deep-rooted corruption, as the closing verse implies. Ne'ufayich u'mitzhalotayich zimat znutech al hagvaot. Basade ra'iti shikutzayich, oy lach Yerushalayim, lo titari acharei matai od. I've seen your abominations, even your adulteries, and your neighing, the lewdness of your prostitution, on the hills in the field. Woe to you, Yerushalayim! You will not be made clean after who knows how long. Having seen how this chapter ends, we can now go back to the opening section of this chapter, which relates a rather bizarre form of prophecy, entailing a dramatization of an idea or emotion which Yirmiyahu uses to capture the attention of an otherwise indifferent audience. Through mimetic symbols, the prophet provokes them to think and feel. Symbolic acts are extant in Tanakh and often reveal deeper truths. For example, in Shmuel Aleph we read, HaMelech Shaul grabs a hold of Shmuel's robe, trying to keep the prophet, his mentor, from abandoning him, and inadvertently tears the robe. Shmuel then interprets this act as a prophetic omen and tells Shaul, Hashem has torn the kingdom of Israel from you this day and has given it to your peer who is better than you. However, extraordinary and even extensive dramatizations like the one found in this chapter are only found among the later prophets, and their meaning is not always interpreted. Yirmiyahu relates that Hashem directed him to purchase a linen sash, customarily worn over a robe, or, as in this case, as an undergarment or a loincloth. He was to wear the cloth until it was soiled and soaked through with sweat. Then in verse 4 he was commanded, Kach et ha'ezor asher kanita, asher al motnecha, v'kum lech prata, v'tamnehu sham benikik hasella. Take the sash that you bought and are wearing, and get up and go to Prat, and hide it there in a crevice of the rocks. After a considerable but unspecified time, he was directed by Hashem to retrieve the cloth. Va'elech prata va'echpor, va'ekach et ha'ezor min ha'makom asher t'mantiv shama, v'hine nishchat ha'ezor, lo yitzlach lakol. So I went to Prat and dug up the loincloth, and I took it from the place where I had hidden it. But now it was ruined, of no use at all. Is the Prat River here the Euphrates River, which would have entailed traveling hundreds of kilometers back and forth? And for what? Who would see and know what he had done? Yirmiyahu, like anyone who hears this, must have been puzzled by the purpose or meaning of such an arduous and elaborate act. And then Hashem begins to clarify, as told in verses 8 through 10. Ko amar Hashem, kacha ashchit et ge'on Yehuda ve'et ge'on Yerushalayim harav. העם הזה הרע, המענים לשמוע את דבריי, ההולכים בשרירות ליבם, וילכו אחרי אלוהים אחרים לעובדם ולהשתחוות להם, ויהי כאזור הזה אשר לא יצלח לכל. This is what Hashem said. In the same way I will ruin the pride of Yehuda and the great pride of Yerushalayim. These evil people who refuse to listen to my words, who still follow the impulses of their own hearts and have gone after other gods to serve and worship them, they will be like this loincloth, of no use at all. Though the purpose of the long trek remains mysterious, Hashem continues to decipher the meaning of the cloth that had been bound to the prophet's loins. Ki kasher yidbak ha'ezor el motnei ish, ken hidbakti elai et kol beit Yisrael ve'et kol beit Yehuda, ha'neum Hashem. Liyot li le'am, ulishem, ve'letihila, ule'tif'eret, ve'lo shameyu. For as the belt clings to the waist of a man, so I had the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Yehuda cling to me, says Hashem, so that they would become my nation, of great repute for praise and glory. But they would not obey. Radak touches upon this scene and cites the Rambam, who wrote in Moreh Nevuchim, the guide for the perplexed, that such bizarre actions demanded of prophets took place only in prophetic visions. They were meant to serve as analogies and not intended to be active public displays. Rambam claims that Yirmiyahu never traveled beyond the boundaries of Israel all the way to the Euphrates River to hide his loincloth in the riverbank, but only saw himself doing this in a dream or a trance. Radak, in contrast, appears to maintain that only such symbolic actions, which might be viewed as violating the Torah or the dignity of a prophet, need to be assumed to have occurred in a vision. Actions which were arduous or personally distressing to the prophet, on the other hand, might have actually taken place. Thus, he allows for the possibility that Yirmiyahu actively traveled to Prat, pointing out that the text never mentions a dream or a vision. Shadal, on the other hand, speculates that the river mentioned in this chapter refers to a nearby stream and not the distant Euphrates. But all the commentaries concur that the events, whether in reality or in a dream, did not occur before an audience. Possibly Hashem wanted Yirmiyahu to internalize his messages. He would later relay the vivid experience and its meaning to the people as a parable of the fate of the Judean kingdom's disintegration in the Babylonian exile, where the pride of Yehuda would be broken on the banks of the Euphrates River. Malbim explains that the parable symbolizes the great lengths to which Hashem went to acquire his beloved people and keep them close, sheltering them even as they became soiled and defiled beyond repair. But neither he nor the other commentaries decipher the meaning of the crevice in the rock, nor explain why the cloth was placed there near the waters, but out of reach of the cleansing stream. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui Nishmat Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bat Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.